good to see all of you this morning. We've got several folks that are under the weather, and we've got some that are on vacation, but we've got a good group this morning. I appreciate you being here, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will just bless you as we worship the Lord together. Some of those that are sick or on the vacation may listen later on the website, and we pray that they're blessed. Always glad to come together with God's people. Got a text yesterday from a lady that I grew up with, you know, a long, long time, long time ago. And her husband's in the hospital down in the Atlanta area. And she's talking about how good it was to have friends that she had known such a long time to join her in prayer. That's a wonderful thing about being a part of the body of Christ. We can be separated by years. We can be separated by distance, but we're still one in the spirit. How'd the little chorus go? We're one in the bond of love, one in the bond of love. May we pray. Father, we do thank you that the Spirit of God that lives within us joins us together with each other and with you. Father, we thank you that that's a bond that doesn't break with the years or with distance, but that we still sense that presence. Father, remember Paul writing, I'm not with you in present, but just be sure my spirit will be with you when you get together. Because Paul was bound together with those churches that he planted, the people that he loved. Father, now we pray that the Spirit of God might come, and we know he's here. We just want to welcome the Holy Spirit. We want him to know that however he wants to use this service through the music, the preaching, the praying, that he's welcome to come, touch hearts and draw them to you. And Father, I want to make a special request. I know that the weather app says no rain, but the weather app doesn't control you. You control the weather app. And so Father, I pray that we'll have some good rain here in Stanley County in the next few days. Father, I pray that you'll do that which the weatherman says is not going to happen, because you can do it. You can make it rain out of a sunny sky. And so, Father, we just ask for that rain out of your generosity and out of your love for us. And by faith, we believe that it will happen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. I appreciate that prayer. Prayer for rain. I'll tell you, I was down east yesterday, down around Benson, and I saw cornfields there completely dried up to nothing. And I thought about how the farmers will be suffering from that. And you know, we need some rain here. And thank you, Pastor, for asking God's help. That's a good thing. This morning, we want to think a little bit of patriotic music. Miss Brenda is missing today. She's on vacation, much deserved. And Miss Kathy, she's got control of the thing over here. And so she picked out one that she wanted to do. And I told her, I said, you just pick the song and we'll do it. And so she's picked this one out. Mine eyes have seen the glory. If you all stand, please. And we'll sing. We're going to sing all five verses of this. They're short verses. And so let's do it, okay?
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the faithful lightning of this terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Hearts of my soul to answer him in jubilant my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Our God is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. And he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Our God is marching on. He is coming like the glory of the morning on the way. He is wisdom to the mighty, he is honor to the brave. So the world shall be his footstool, and the soul of wrong his slave. Our God is marching on. Sing now. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Our God is marching on.
Everybody said amen. You seated. Well, good morning again, everybody. Now, we've got some announcements I want to share. We have a lot going on, and I need to cover the announcements with you. Of course, tonight is our young youth night, and is that right? Okay. And is it 5 o'clock? It's 5 o'clock start tonight on the youth. And also, we'll have church-wide discipleship training tonight as well at 5:30. So that will be going on as usual. Choir practice, unfortunately, will be canceled tonight. We have a lot of people out of town, and so we will be canceling the choir practice, and we'll pick it back up on the second Sunday. Okay? I have a donation for the children's home I want to share with you. A generous donation has been made through our church to the Baptist Children's Home in loving memory of Jerry Kelly on his birthday in July the 5th by Carol Kelly. Thank you, Carol. And we remember Jerry always in loving kindness, we truly do. Celebration of the Lord's Supper will be next week, June the 30th. So please be here for that. The Towers Quartet will be in concert, and we'll be in worship here on June the 30th. It certainly will be a July 4th service, and we'll have hot dogs after the singing, and then all the trimmings will be available to you. And then, of course, if you want to bring a dessert, that's perfect. But we'll have a good time together worshiping and honoring America on June the 30th here at the church. Vacation Bible School, July the 26th. And you see the list. If you have not signed up yet, you need to do that if you want to help. I know there's room for you. If there's nothing else, be somebody like me. Just put me where you want me. Just do that. Just sign the thing, and you'll be fine on that. So July the 26th. And it goes like this. It'll be 6 to 8 from Friday, July the 26th. And then, you see the schedule from 9 to 3, Saturday, July the 27th. And then on Sunday the 28th, you'll have a fun day. Okay? Any questions about this? Yes. All right, so if you heard that, if Kathy needs some help with music with the youth, so if you can help out, that's perfect, okay? And she goes through a lot, learns a lot quickly on that. I used to stand up here and try to go through all those motions, and I looked like I was waving in a jet 747. I don't know. But I mean, it's great, though. It really is. So you come and help. Come and help, Kathy. All right. Are there any other announcements I may have overlooked? All right. In that case, we will go to our prayer request. I have a request for Wayne Little. Wayne Little has been diagnosed with lymphoma cancer, and so he is going through treatment. So we need to be sure that we keep him and keep your dad in our prayers. We certainly will. Are there any others this morning?
Better.
Yes.
Y'all remember Thomas Gaddy? He's a young man, used to work for me, but he's lived in here in Oak Park a long time. He jumped in a pool Friday or Saturday night, hit his head, broke several vertebrae. He's actually paralyzed from his chest down. They don't know if he'll be able to walk again, but he's in CMC Maine. That's going to pray for him and the family.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I did hear from his son, though, that even though, in spite of all of this, his dad is still doing, like, okay, per se.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Will. Oh, yeah, Bobby? All right, Bobby. Okay. Bobby says take him off the prayer list. He's doing pretty good, and that's pretty good. But I'm so proud that we've got a praise report to share, Bobby. Really am. You look good. You really do. I don't care what anybody else says. I think you look good. Yes, ma'am. Okay. I'm sorry, Evan. Teresa. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay, Robert.
My cousin Charles Thomas, we have on the prayer list.
Mm-hmm.
He is now with hospice and palliative care.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So just keep him in prayer.
Okay.
Y'all remember the family of Doug Weaver? Doug passed away this week.
Okay, Doug Weaver family. Okay, yes, Janice? Oh, yes. How is she doing? Do you hear?
Well, she's doing as good as she can. She's in a wheelchair now.
Is she?
She's going to be 99 out on the 26th.
Yes, and she's an amazing lady.
She is.
I think she has been a blessing to a lot of people in this community. Anyone else? All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we're asking, Lord, that a lot of things and a lot of petitions that we'll bring to you this morning. But as always, Lord, before I ask you for anything, Lord, I just say thank you. Thank you for the blessings you've given us. Thank you for the ones that are here. Thank you for the help they have to be here. Lord, I know there are those who could love to be here this morning but can't be. But Lord, we pray for them as well, and we lift them up to you. Lord, we thank you for a time, Lord, that we can be here and that we can worship your name in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we thank you for our pastor who will come and share with us that truth later on this morning. We ask a special blessing upon Kathy as she comes and ministers to us in song this morning as well. But then, Lord, there's those who've been mentioned this morning that we need to lift up to you personally, Lord. And we'll call him by name. We pray for Wayne Little this morning, Lord, as he's dealing with lymphoma. We pray, Lord, that you would heal his body, give a healing to his body if it be your precious will. We pray for the Thomas Gaddy, who's paralyzed, Lord, due to an accident. We lift him up to you as well. We give you thanks for Brother Bobby, who is here this morning. We give you thanks for healing of his body and bringing him back, Lord, to a normal degree of health. We pray for him. Lord, there was an unspoken request this morning, and you know exactly what that need is. We ask, Lord, that you would fit a blessing to that need. And then we'll pray for Teresa, Lord, and as she's been lifted up, for us to remember her in prayer. For Chandler Thomas, the hospice, with the hospice, we pray for him, Lord, as the hospice is ministering to him. We pray for the Doug Weaver family who's lost a loved one and him. And then for May Brooks, we lift her up to you, Lord. We know that, Lord, she's lived a long, prosperous, healthy life. But now, Lord, as she is beginning to get close to 100 years old, Lord, we thank you for that life you've given her, number one. But we ask, Lord, that you comfort her and be with her. And then, Lord, all these blessings we ask in your name, and we give you all the glory and all the praise. Amen. Miss Kathy, if you would come this morning. Kathy's going to come and minister us in song. So, Kathy.
This is one of my most favorite songs to sing. If you want to sing along, the words are up for you. And if you don't, just hum along. But Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone is the song.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. the earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Thank you, Kathy. That was beautiful.
Amen.
Now, did the Holy Spirit put those two songs together for you like he did for me? The world can look like it's falling apart, and it does right now. But glory, hallelujah, our God is marching on.
Amen.
And the world may soon dissolve like snow, but he's forever ours. It's just amazing. God is forever ours. It doesn't make any difference. Now, we need to be living for Christ and trying to influence the world as best we can. But at the same time, God is still on the throne. He's still the King. He's still the Lord. He's the Creator. And he's the one that's going to wrap it all up in the end. And those who belong to Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they're going to be fine and dandy for all of eternity. So we just want to be sure we're in that right group. I don't know. It seemed like to me about 6 months ago, it may have been longer, maybe not quite that long, I started seeing a commercial on TV. And it varies from time to time. It showed this way one time and that way another time. But basically it shows a guy on the roof and he's got this spray and he's spraying something white all over the roof. And in one of the episodes, they have a little pile of money here and a big pile of money over here. And they say, why spend a big pile of money on replacing your roof whenever you can spend a little pile of money and we'll spray our product on the roof and it'll last for 5 years or more, or up to 5 years. Anybody else see that commercial? Or nobody else watches TV? I was watching that commercial and suddenly it just hit me, but I think the Holy Spirit inspiration is that's the exact difference between cultural Christianity and Bible Christianity. Now think with me for a few moments. How many people do you know that claim to be to have some type of Christian experience? They may be ordinary folks, your family members, your coworkers, your neighbors. Could be prominent athletes or musicians or actors, actresses, politicians. They all claim to have some allegiance to Christian values. Excuse me. And yet, you listen to them talking, it's obvious they don't know much about the Bible. They don't know whether it's the book of Job or the book of Job. You know, it's obvious they don't know much about the Bible. And it's also very obvious they don't live by the Bible. Some of them may claim that, you know, my church, my denomination teaches this, that, or the other, and yet they don't live by it. They don't go by what their church teaches. They don't go by what the Bible teaches. And depending upon the various person, they may be immoral. They may be vulgar. Now, it's one thing to grow up in a home that's very vulgar, and all of a sudden you let a word slip and you didn't mean to, and you say, oops, I didn't mean to. I'm still dealing with that. But it's another thing just to be vulgar, 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 vulgar all the time. Ugly, ugly, ugly coming out of a person's mouth. And yet they say they're a Christian. People, crooks, just literally crooks. And they say, you know, I'm a Christian. A lot of hate by people that say they're Christians. A lot of unforgiveness by people that say that they're Christians. Some people choose pure evil in the way they vote and in the way they act. And yet they say, I'm a Christian. And that sort of reminds me of that spray on the roof. It just covers over all the ugliness that's underneath. Well, now, what did Jesus say about folks like this? They want to look good, but aren't so good. In the 23rd chapter of Matthew, and I don't know why they didn't crucify Jesus right then whenever he said this. 23rd chapter of Matthew, and these are some words, beginning in verse 24. You blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. That's enough, I think. He said, you guys, you clean the outside of the cup. You make sure it looks good, but the inside of the cup's dirty. Makes no sense, does it? He says, you take your whitewash and paint the tombs of your ancestors, but inside, those tombs are nothing but the corpses of people that have passed away. It looks good on the outside, but inside there's nothing that's right. And how many people, and I'm glad that God is, with his infinite wisdom, is the one making the decision of heaven or hell and not me. I'm glad that he in his awesomeness is the one that knows right from wrong and how men's hearts are. But if you, somebody says, that's an apple tree and it doesn't have any apples on it and it never even has any apple blossoms, is it really an apple tree? Now, it could be an apple tree and be very diseased. When I moved in up the Parsonage Prospect, I planted some apple trees, some peach trees and some pear trees. Got peaches and pears, but never got any apples. And every year, beautiful blooms, little apples about yay big would come on. Then the leaves are just like they all had measles or something and just fall off. And finally somebody told me, said, preacher, said you planted them right beside all those cedar trees. And those cedar trees are poisoning some way or another those apple trees. I never did get any apples. They really were apple trees, but they were, I never got any apples. But when you look and you don't see the fruit, you wonder, is this really an apple tree or not? or is it a diseased apple tree? When you look at a person's life and they say, I'm a child of God, I'm a Christian, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Presbyterian, a Lutheran, a Catholic, whatever, and their lives do not back it up, are they really a child of God? Now that's why I say there's a culture of Christianity. And Jesus says in later in Matthew, not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, there's going to come a time when men stand before the Lord and say, now, wait a minute. How come I'm in the wrong group? How come I'm in the group heading in the wrong direction? I thought I preached. I thought I taught. I thought I did this, that, and the other. And he's going to say, I didn't ever know you. Jesus said that there is a group that's going to be disappointed because their lives did not measure up to what they claimed in their heart. So there's a culture of Christianity that's prevalent here in America. A lot of folks that say, I'm a child of God, but I declare, I have to wonder. Now, what does biblical Christianity look like? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. This is the scripture I want us to focus on. 2 Corinthians 5. And verse 17 says this, and I want you, if you forget anything else, everything else I say, I hope this verse will stick with you when you leave here this morning. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But focus on verse 17. He says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Some translations say a new creation. He's been made all over new and fresh. He's not the same. About 5 years ago, I had the roof replaced at my house. They tore off the old shingles. They tore off the, well, we used to call it tar paper, but I don't know what kind of sheeting goes under the shingles these days, but they tore that off. And lo and behold, they found a few places where there'd been some leaks, and so the plywood was rotten, and they had to cut that out and replace it. And I'm sure if there'd been any rotten framing or anything up there that held it all up, then they had to replace that. They had to get down to get rid of everything that was not right. Then they fixed it. Then they put the new sheeting on it, and then they put the new shingles. But they had to get down to the place where they got rid of everything that was rotten, everything that didn't work, everything that was not perfect before they got the shingles on. And once they got the shingles on, I hope that they'll last longer than I do. But they had to deal with it. And so here's what Jesus said. That real salvation, we become new. Jesus gets down within us through the Holy Spirit And he begins to deal with us in every area of our life. Now, the minute we become a Christian, the minute we, whether we walk an aisle or whether we kneel in a cornfield or whether we sitting on the couch in our living room, but the minute we say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I believe in him, that he died on the cross, that he was buried, that he rose again, and that he's the Son of God, and I accept him as my Lord and Savior, that minute, wherever it was, whether we were 8 years old or whether we were 80 years old, we're born again, we're ready for the kingdom of God. We're ready for heaven. But in the process, unless we are basically on our deathbed, God is going to work with us and begin to change us from the inside out. And depending upon your upbringing, depending upon the kind of family you grew up in, the community you grew up in, the parents that you had or grandparents, every one of us is different. Now, if you grew up in a family, for example, where vulgarity, cursing, was a big deal. And now I know some people that were delivered instantly the minute they accepted Jesus. But most people, it doesn't work that fast. And the Lord deals with it, and he helps you cut it out, get rid of it, and change. It may be certain areas of prejudice. And you know, we can be prejudiced against people of other races. We can be prejudiced against rich people. We can be prejudiced against poor people. We can be prejudiced of, down here, we can be prejudiced of Northerners. And up there, they can be prejudiced against Southerners. We can be prejudiced in a lot of areas. And the Lord needs to deal with that. We can be, one person, it might be lust. They may have grown up in a home that was very lustful, where pornographic stuff was rampant in that home. And they have to deal with that. But Jesus says, if a man is in Christ, he is a new creature. He's been made all over again. He's not just the same old dude, sort of covered over, looking a little prettier. He's made new from the inside out. And we need to understand that. We need to convey that in our witnessing. He talks about that ministry of reconciliation. We need to convey that. You don't just join the church and be the same old person. If you truly accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are a new creature. Jesus talked to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, I don't understand that. What do you mean born again? And Jesus said, you've got to be born from above. You've got to have a heavenly birth. You've got to have God touching your heart and transforming your heart. There's another scripture that talks about taking away our heart of stone and giving us a heart of flesh. A totally changed, transformed life. He said, we've been reconciled to God. In verse 18 there, we've been reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, because we've been made new, we can fellowship with God. The Bible has a phrase, can two walk together except they be agreed? If your friend's going that way and you're going out that door, you're not walking together. If we're walking with God, we're going out the same door that He is. We're having the same values He had. We're having the same thoughts. We're wanting our lives to please the Lord. In verse 21, he says, we have been made the righteousness of God in Jesus. We have been made the righteousness of God in Jesus. That means our life becomes righteous. God sees us as righteous. Now, we may not see ourselves that way. We may still see ourselves as sinful. And we do sin. But God says, I look at your heart. I look at your heart that's covered by the blood of Jesus. And because your heart is covered by the blood of Jesus, I see the righteousness of God in you. But it's because we've been made new. It's not because we've just been covered over. There's such a difference. And I see so many people in America today who say, yes, I'm a child of God. But I don't see any apples on the tree. Just covered over. But oh, how beautiful it is when you see someone who has begun to deal with the rot in their life through the power of the Holy Spirit and just begin to change. Paul puts it a little different in another of his letters. Turn with me to Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul says, listen, to be the child of God that God wants you to be, there's a transformation that takes place. One, you stop looking at the world and saying, oh, that's the way to live. You have your mind transformed and you look at God and God says that's the way to live. And it's just amazing how our lives transform when our minds are transformed by the power of God. The world... A little drink won't hurt you. A little recreational drugs won't hurt you. A little flirting with that woman down the street or in the office won't hurt you. Looking at this on your computer won't hurt you. Everybody does it. Don't be different. And God says, no, 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 no. That isn't the way we live. God says live differently. And we can begin to see things differently. We can see right from wrong. We can see the present versus eternity. There are things that look good. Hey, the devil's no fool. He's not going to show you that drunk in the gutter that's lost his wife and his family and his job and his health and he's filthy and nasty and about to die. He's not going to show you that picture. He's going to show you a bunch of folks looking, hey, happy, you know, with their drinks in their hand. The devil's no fool. But we begin to see things with God's eyes. The devil says, hey, they hurt you. You got a right to seek revenge. You got a right to hate them. What he doesn't show you is where that's just tearing you up inside. Working on you, working on you, working on you. Every time you think about them, just the acid builds up in your body and your blood pressure runs up and your heart rate changes. And they don't even know. They don't even care. And God says, oh, no, learn to forgive, and I'll take care of it. It's amazing to watch the Lord take care of things that we would never be able to take care of. You see, there's such a difference in the way we whole see the world when we look at the world with God's eyes as versus looking at the world with the world's eyes. And there's such a difference between cultural Christianity and biblical Christianity. I'm reminded that many, many times when our missionaries go overseas, they have to deal with this. You know, in some religions, they have more than one god. They have a lot of gods and goddesses. And so the people there in India or China or wherever, they're used to worshiping all of these various gods and goddesses. And so the mission, you know, they may have 1,000. And the missionary comes in and he begins to talk to them about Jesus, and Jesus sounds good. And if the missionary's not careful, they'll say, oh, I accept Jesus. But what they do is Jesus becomes God number 1001 rather than the supreme Lord of their life. And the missionary has to say to them, no, 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 no. You can't just add Jesus to all your other gods and goddesses. It's Jesus or nothing. I remember the first time we went to Brazil. They said, don't ask anybody if they're a Christian. So everybody in Brazil is a Christian. Oh, really? I said, yeah, they were all sprinkled as Catholics when they were babies. And now they've mixed in some voodoo and some other stuff with it. And everybody's a Christian. Says, if you ask them if they're a Christian, they're all Christians. Ask them, are they a believer in Jesus? And that's when you begin to separate the Christians, the real Christians, from people that just say they're Christian. I see that commercial, and I think about people that I know that have just sort of painted over the ugliness in their life. And unless they change, it concerns me that they're not going to be ready when they stand before the Lord. But oh, the joy, the transformation that takes place in our lives when we become a new creature in Christ. And I don't say this to, you know, to brag on myself, but it's like sometimes I'm talking to somebody and I'm thinking, you don't get it? How can you not see it? It's because I'm looking with different eyes than they're looking. And for you, many of you, people you work with, people in the family, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They start espousing certain things and you think, that's just absolutely foolish. And then you think, they're looking with the world's eyes, not God's eyes. The Bible says, man looketh on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Be sure in ourselves that we have experienced that new birth. And be sure as we have that ministry of reconciliation that we read about, that we convey to those to whom we witness. The wonderful news is that Jesus died that you might be totally born again and become a new creation in Christ. And please, don't just think I'll just add Jesus to my life and nothing will change except now I'll say I'm a Christian. The way to heaven is to be born again, to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? I'm going to come and stand here at the front for a moment. If there's someone that needs to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to come down and share that with me. If you have a heart that's concerned about a loved one or a friend that just pretends to be a Christian and they're really not, and you need to come to the altar and pray for that friend, that family member, we invite you to come. To someone that'd like to become a part of our church through transferring of a letter or in some other way, we invite you to come and share that with me. In that good morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness unto me. Oh, we serve a great God, a faithful God, wonderful God. And what joy, what joy, what joy. When we stand before him, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Please enter into the joy of your Lord. Anyone that would like to come? Bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen.